The following is a podcast from Live It, a ministry of St. Marcus. For more information or for message notes, go to www.liveitmke.org.
Our Lord Jesus has a word for us tonight from Matthew chapter 22. The words are up on the screen. They're also printed in your service folder. Then the Pharisees went out and laid plans to trap him in his words. They sent their disciples to him along with the Herodians. "Teacher," they said, "we know that you are a man of integrity and that you teach the way of God in accordance with the truth. You aren't swayed by others because you pay no attention to who they are. Tell us then, what is your opinion? Is it right to pay the imperial tax to Caesar or not?" But Jesus, knowing their evil intent, said, "You hypocrites, why are you trying to trap me? Show me the coin used for paying the tax." They brought him a denarius, and he asked them, "Whose image is this, and whose inscription?" "Caesar's," they replied. Then he said to them, "So give back to Caesar what is Caesar's, and to God what is God's." When they heard this, they were amazed. So they left him and went away. This is the word of God. I once read about a young man in Pennsylvania who got in the mail federal income tax refund check. You know, we're always looking for that refund check. Except his was in excess of $200,000. Check in the mail from the government, $230,000 tax refund. Now, either the IRS made a mistake or he has to adjust his withholding. Well, it was a mistake because this young man was only 3 years old. So he didn't get the money. The family was honest enough to call the government to give the money back. And it was a big news story, at least locally there in Pennsylvania. And I remember the father of the lad being asked, "Is he disappointed? Is he disappointed that he didn't get the money?" And the dad's like, "No, he doesn't care about the money. What would make him happiest right now is if he had some ice cream before bed." What would you take the ice cream or the money? Which one would you go for? I think I'd take the money. And if we did that, we might even think to ourselves, "Oh, this is sweet justice." You know, a financial windfall at the expense of the federal government that taxes me. A financial windfall at the expense of the man who oppresses me, who holds me down, who has authority over me. I think it's a pretty tough thing to be a Christian and to have the right attitude about the governing authority. Because on the one hand, you know, even though we Christians may not always agree with our government, we care about our government, we care about our country, right? We care about our nation. We care about our democracy. We want it to do well. So there's that. And then on the other hand, we confess that we are citizens of God's kingdom, right? So it's like we're in two kingdoms. And how do we navigate between the two? How do we navigate our loyalty and our service to government on the one hand and God on the other? Well, I think we should let Jesus help us navigate that tonight. And he says, give to Caesar what is Caesar's and to God what is God's. Now, it sounds simple enough, but I know that you agree with me that this is deeply profound and hard to put into practice. So let's listen to him tonight. Let's boil it all down, and let's agree on this, that when God calls us to faith, when he makes us Christians, he calls us to serve. Christians are always looking to serve. They serve the state by which God protects them. They serve the church by which God saves them. Christians are always looking to serve. Now, it has been said that politics makes for strange bedfellows. That is, politicians, in an effort to get elected, will often make alliances with people that they don't normally work too well with. And we've got a good example of that in this Word of God before us tonight. Matthew 22 takes place on the Tuesday of the first Holy Week. It's often called Teaching Tuesday because Jesus, what he did on that Tuesday of Holy Week, there's page after page in your gospel accounts, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, of Jesus just teaching people, including usually his enemies, the Word of God on that Tuesday of Holy Week. And for political reasons and religious reasons, the two most powerful political slash religious groups in the day, the Pharisees and the Herodians, who normally could not stand each other, came together. And they decided, we're going to put down our differences. We're going to make nice in order to make him look bad. And so they colluded to set a trap, to set a trap for our Lord Jesus. And here's how it went. Teacher, tell us, what is your opinion? Is it right to pay taxes to Caesar or not? Now, why is that the perfect trap? Well, if Jesus says, yes, it's great to pay taxes. Well, then he loses face with the people who hated Roman taxation. If he says no, well, then he's in trouble with the Roman government. So we got him, they thought. Not even Jesus can hit a curveball like this. Oh, those conniving Pharisees and Herodians. Oh, those enemies of Jesus. But wait, I think I have talked this way. I think I have asked this question. Teacher, Jesus, is it right for me to fund with my tax money a government that allows for abortion? Teacher, is it right for me to give my honor and respect to an elected official that I did not vote for? In fact, nobody I know voted for that person. Teacher, is it right? And he listens to our anxious, nervy questions, just like he listened to their question way back when, and he gives the same answer. Give to Caesar what is Caesar's, and to God what is God's. Yeah, Caesar. According to Jesus Christ, even a pagan, godless, governmental official is worthy of our respect and our honor, even if, or if we are going to call ourselves Christians. And if we're having a hard time tonight wrapping our head around us, remember what we heard from the Apostle Paul tonight. He said that all government, any government, is actually a gift from God. And then later in his life and ministry, the Apostle Paul would write in 1 Timothy chapter 2 that Christians eagerly engage in prayer for pagan governments, for kings and all those in authority. And when Paul wrote that, that was Nero. Pray for your government. And you know why, the apostle said? Because through the government, God actually gives you peace and order so that you Christians can do your job, which is to spread the gospel and honor God by doing that. When they heard this, they were amazed. And I think we are too. Christians look to their secular government. They look at it, and they see in it an opportunity to actually serve God when they honor and respect it. Church and state. Church and state. Separate, yes. Different, yes. Different tools that they use, definitely. But here's one way that they are exactly the same. Representatives of God that are to receive our honor and respect. And this is why, in his small catechism, Martin Luther, when he was writing an explanation of the fourth commandment, honor your father and mother, that it may go well with you, and you may have long life on the earth. As Luther wrote an explanation to that commandment, these are the words that he used. We should fear and love God, that we do not dishonor or anger our parents and others in authority, but honor, serve, and obey them, and give them love and respect. Really? Mom and Dad, I get that. Grandma and Grandpa, okay. But others in authority? Oh, this is a struggle, isn't it? It's a struggle. For me to give honor and respect to someone who has authority over me who has, as I said earlier, just royally botched that authority. I have failed in that regard. Where have you failed? Has it gotten to the point that in the way we think about our elected officials, that we can't disagree with them without vilifying them in our words, in our thoughts, in our hearts? And where are our hearts? Just to bring up taxes again, like when you pay taxes, when I pay taxes, is my heart in the right place? Or am I resenting it every step of the way? These are things that our God would have us think about. These are things that the teacher, you know, the teacher who was asked his opinion on that Tuesday of Holy Week, he would have us think about these things. But here's the thing, brothers and sisters. That teacher is the Savior from sin. And in his saving love, The one who has paid for every one of our sins says to us tonight, put it down. Lay it aside. Lay aside the resentment and the dishonor and the disrespect. Just put it down. And find in the loving heart of Jesus a God who actually gives government as a blessing. Now, what are the blessings? Yeah, peace, order, general order in society. These are incredible blessings, so much so that we really pray for them. We ask God for them every time we say, give us this day our daily bread. But then there's also this. Tonight, you came to this house of God, to this house of worship, and nobody told you you couldn't. There was no governmental official keeping you from worshiping God publicly. I think you and I both know that we are in the minority in the world. This is a blessing that is afforded through our government that not everybody in the world has. And so shall we not thank God for that by giving to Caesar what is Caesar's and to God what is God's? And that's the way Jesus says it. He doesn't say or. He doesn't say pick one or the other. He says give honor to both and to God what is God's. Now, what is it that belongs to God? Well, everything, right? I think Christians have no problem identifying with King David in Psalm 24, who said, the earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. So it all belongs to God. And so when Jesus teaches us this tonight, give to God what is God's, obviously that's going to reach into every part of who we are. And because Jesus that day handled a denarius, a coin, and he talked about taxes, I think we very easily could see an application here to how the Lord would have us handle the money that he allows us to have. But I'm hoping you'll just allow me tonight, I guess you have to, I'm hoping you'll allow me tonight to just, in these last couple of minutes, to make another application of give to God what is God's. Now, next weekend, here at St. Marcus, we're really starting a 500th birthday celebration. And as a lot of you know, October 31st, 1517, was the birthday of the Lutheran Church. And so we're on birthday number 500 coming up next Tuesday. And what do we have from God as sons and daughters of the Lutheran Reformation? I think if you put 10 thoughtful Lutherans in a room, you might get 10 different answers like, this is what I most treasure about my Lutheran heritage. But I think there would be this common denominator. And it would have to do with a scripture from Ephesians chapter 2. For it is by grace that you have been saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not from works, so that no one can boast. God's saving, forgiving love for us is a gift. It's grace. It is, as we sing in one of my favorite Christmas hymns, burned into my heart, unasked. unforced, unearned. When you study the scriptures, and I know that other churches teach this, but what I'm trying to say is that you've got to admit that this was uncovered again by the Lutheran Reformation. When you study the scriptures, you come to the conclusion that God's love for us in Jesus Christ is not something that we do, that we earn, but rather it is given to us freely by His grace. And I'm going to call that the unconditional gospel. So the gospel is the message of God's love through Jesus Christ, and it's unconditional. There's no strings attached to it. It's not true if you believe it. It's true, period. Believe it. Believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved. That unconditional gospel is a great gift from God. Now, what are we going to give back to Him for that? We share that message with as many people as possible, especially the folks in this community. See, if I know that Jesus didn't just die for my sins or for your sins or for church people's sins only, that He didn't just shed His blood for the church people, but He actually shed His blood for people who don't believe it yet, wouldn't I unabashedly share that message with everybody? There is no one you will see in a crowded mall or on a crowded street for whom you have to say, I wonder if Jesus died for that person. You just never have to think that, because Jesus paid for the sins of the whole world. We need to tell people that. And if I know that my neighbor has had Jesus shed His blood for him, even if he doesn't believe it, shouldn't I tell him, even if I'm not absolutely sure whether he's going to believe it? This is how we give back to God. We spread that message. Everything we do is about the unconditional gospel going out into our community. And here's the thing. When we do that, we'll actually be helping our community and our state and our country and our world. When you make the unconditional gospel your testimony, and when you support missionaries who go to the four corners of the world where you cannot go to spread that message, that's you giving back to God. Give to God what is God's. And you know what? That's when we're helping people the most. We all need change, right, in our lives. The people of our community need changes for the better in their lives too. But it will never ever happen by us being a church that imposes a bunch of rules and tries to make a bunch of laws of the land. It won't happen. It does happen when we proclaim and live the unconditional gospel of Jesus Christ, which is the only tool of the church. And so take that sword of the Spirit, friends, which is the Word of God. Take that sword of the Spirit and you just swing it. You wield that sword of the Spirit. You proclaim the message far and wide. And when you do, remember this. You are serving the people of this land, and you're serving the God of the universe at the same time. Christians are always looking to serve. Amen.